Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Unlimited. Today, we are talking about burnout beyond the 9-to-5 and how to be the best boss of your own life. A lot of people think about bosses in terms of like a corporate space or working for somebody. But the thing is that the dynamics that you experience in the workplace, particularly around things like motivation and burnout and how one leads to address those things, is not something that only exists in that workspace. It also exists in how you do other areas of life, as well as if you're an entrepreneur and you are your boss. So we want to take a look at what is burnout? What indicates that you are burning out? What are some of the factors that contribute to burnout? And what can you do to lead your employee, i.e. you, better so that you can help motivate yourself more? And the things that you need to remember to stay centered in what you are creating in your life, not just in your work, but the living that you're doing, and keeping yourself in that space so that not only are you your own best boss, but you're also your own best employee. I give several practical exploratory questions for you to dig in and identify what that boss profile looks like for you so that you can, you know, hire the right person for the job. So for this episode, you may want to sit down with a pencil and paper and take some notes and do some journaling. If you're listening and maybe you're driving in the car and you can't actually do that, you can hop over to the blog post on my website with the same title that's for the podcast. And in it, I have written out those questions so that you can go through them there. If now is not a good time for you, or if you just like to let it marinate for a little bit before you sit down with that pen and paper. So, without further ado, let's get started. Hey there, I'm Valerie Friedlander, Certified Life Business Alignment Coach, and this is Unlimited. This podcast bridges the individual and the societal, scientific and spiritual, positive and negative, nerdy and, no, there's just a lot of nerdy. Come on board and let's unlock a life that's as badass as you are. A lot of people come to me for coaching when they are not showing up in their life the way they want to. A lot of times there is concern about how present they're being or how motivated they are. There's concern that they're feeling lazy or they're just not doing the things that they say they want to do and they're not sure why. Well, first of all, if that sounds like you, I want you to know that there is nothing wrong with you. And it is almost guaranteed not that you are lazy. Lazy is often a word that we throw onto things, and it's when there's something else going on, but we haven't been trained to look at what that is, or we haven't learned to value the actual need that's being expressed through the not doing of the things. The other factor that can happen is that there's a should in there. A lot of times we have things that we think that we want to do, but it's really a should, like we should do this. We're supposed to do this. This is what people say you do when you are in this role, when you want this thing, when whatever. It's externally motivated. Now, the should is sometimes buried in a thing that you think that you want to do. So, for example, say you want to build a business. Well, you do these things like grow your email list, put up ads on Facebook, do a ton of networking, write newsletters every week, post on social media 5 times a week or whatever. Those all can easily be shoulds if they don't align with who you are or the way you want to be in the world, the way you want to experience life, and all those things that I've talked about several times before. It's a means to an end. Those strategies are always a means to an end. They might not be connected with you. And the more they're not connected with you, the more they are a should. And the more they pull you away from the actual thing that you want, which is an experience of life, which means that they are likely to lead to burnout. So all of that to say that a lot of times when we talk about, oh, I'm so lazy, that's a story. That's something we've been trained to say about ourselves. Unfortunately, it's a story a lot of us have. It could just mean you need a rest, and go to my episode all about rest if you need a little reminder about the value of rest. Otherwise, burnout is a thing that could be happening. And that's like the more extreme level of lazy. And oftentimes when you are having or experiencing burnout, that's one of the things that we say, oh, well, I must just be being lazy. Okay, no, let's not do that. So let's pull back for a second and talk about what burnout is. Now, a lot of the articles that I was finding when I was kind of looking up, all right, what are these scientific articles and whatnot say about burnout? And a lot of them talk about the workplace and workplace burnout. For example, there is a 2018 Gallup report that states that about 2/3 of full-time workers experience burnout on the job. Then in May of 2019, the World Health Organization went so far as to classify burnout as a syndrome, identifying the characteristics as feelings of energy depletion, increased mental distance, negativity toward one's job, and reduced professional efficacy. Now, may I remind you that all of this was pre-pandemic, in the before time, and we have a lot more now. So if you think about it, like 2/3, that's a big number. And based on the way most of these articles are worded, that is primarily looking at J-O-B, like 9-to-5 kind of workers. We're not looking at other classifications of workers, such as entrepreneurs and, dare I say, parents, especially moms. And what about students? I mean, there's a whole demographic of people, multiple demographics of people that have not been studied in relation to this, but I would be willing to bet, if I were a betting kind of person, that there you would see very high rates of burnout. I mean, we certainly see high rates of depression and increased mental distance. And, you know, yes, okay, pandemic has exacerbated things, but as I've said before, there are a lot of things that were already there. We just had gotten really good at tolerating them until they were magnified so much recently. To define burnout, according to Psychology Today, burnout is a state of emotional, mental, and often physical exhaustion brought on by prolonged or repeated stress. It is not simply a result of working long hours. The cynicism, depression, and lethargy that are characteristic of burnout most often occur when a person is not in control of how a job is carried out or is asked to complete tasks that conflict with their sense of self. So, highlighting here, cynicism, depression, and lethargy. Yes, we are talking about energetic depletion. We're not just talking about laziness. You are energetically depleted. There are things that use energy that are not the things that we necessarily notice. They are not the obvious uses of energy. They are even our subconscious brain using energy, playing in the background. One of the reasons why we worry about stuff is because our brain is expending energy, and so it feels like we're doing something about the thing that we're worrying about, even though we're not, because, hey, we're spending energy on it, so therefore we must be doing something, right? Well, you are, but how productive is it? Well, all right. So anyway, that's not the focus right now. But I do want to highlight that, like, There are things where you may be like, I'm not even doing that much stuff, but you feel exhausted. Well, there's probably a reason. So let's take a look at some of the factors that tend to cause burnout, according to the Mayo Clinic, and explore a little bit about what those might look like in other areas that aren't just the workplace. The first one listed is lack of control. Now, there's nothing that says here whether the experience of lack of control is necessarily related to actual lack of control. Like there are things that you're being required to do that you really don't have a connection to. You have to do it because it's your job and you'll get fired if you don't, that sort of thing. Now, that's going to be more workplace related. What we're focusing on now is more personal life related, or if you're an entrepreneur, you being your own boss, what does that look like? So this could even be perceived lack of control. That can show up when you feel like life's happening to you. That can happen when you are focused on an outcome and controlling an outcome and feel like nothing you're doing is working, or what you're doing is pulling you further away from what you really want, like I mentioned earlier. It can happen when you're focused on controlling another person or a situation because those things are beyond your control. So when where your control is placed is external to you, you can feel more out of control. So that could lead to like how much energy are you putting on controlling things or trying to control things that aren't actually yours to control. The next one is unclear job expectations. How clear have you been with yourself around what your job expectations are? Now, perhaps if you're running a business and you're an entrepreneur, you have clear things that you have outlined. However, there are plenty of times where it's just like this general amorphous, well, I need to get business. Like I need to get clients, or I need to sell my product, or something that relies on other people. And naturally, yes, there is a reliance on other people to buy from you, either your products or services, because that's how you have a business. But if you have not been specific at what activities that you are doing and what you can look at to assess how things are working, then you may not feel like you have clear job expectations for yourself. And then, of course, take it into other areas like, for example, parenthood, where There's nothing really clear there at all. Everybody has opinions and everybody is happy to tell you what to do. There are plenty of books and podcasts and family and friends that tell you the right way. There's internalized ways that you may have subconscious beliefs around what makes a good mom or a good dad. And again, we can fall into that lack of control because there are plenty of things about your child that really aren't yours to control. It's not really about control, but it can feel that way because it can feel very out of control when your life is managed by a little dictator at times. So there's all those kinds of experiences too that like, have you created clear expectations, and not only clear expectations, but reasonable ones on you as a human being to make the grade as a good parent or good at whatever it is that you do. So taking a look at what defines enough for you is key. The next one is dysfunctional workplace dynamics. Boss micromanages your work, office bully, undermined by colleagues, perfectionism, inner critic. So while you may not have another boss, if you're activating micromanagement on yourself through perfectionism, that can also basically be like you're being a micromanaging boss to yourself. You're bullying yourself. Or perhaps you have some unclear communication with a partner, whether it is a parenting partner or a business partner, or perhaps your clients. If there's unclear communications, there's often a sense of being controlled or pushed around or undermined or, you know, boundaries. Boundaries are really important. So we'll get to the solutions for these things, but I just want to highlight the ways that some of these things that you may be looking at your workplace and going, well, I left corporate to get away from that. Why am I feeling burnt out now? Or why do I feel burnt out at my home more than I feel burnt out at my job? Some of these things may be playing into your real, like, home life or the life that you have worked to create in your work, but you pulled along with you all of these subconscious patterns from what you used to do in the space that you used to work in. Because there's a reason why in 2017, there were two-thirds of people experiencing burnout in the workplace. You know that saying that wherever you go, there you are. Our brain likes patterns, so we tend to carry them other places. That statistic, I would look at as a symptom of a bigger problem. So moving on, the next one is extremes of activity. Monotonous or chaotic, you need constant energy to stay focused. Oh my goodness. I don't even know if this one needs any like digging into. There are plenty of monotonous daily chores to do around the house. Things can feel chaotic, especially if there are messes constantly being made and you like things neat. Like if your tolerance for a mess is low and your spouse's tolerance for a mess is high, or your kid's tolerance for a mess is high, you know, all of those sorts of things. Also, with launches, if you're an entrepreneur and you're launching a product or launching a service, this is why, you know, we talk about hustle culture, but ultimately it ties back to these same dynamics of, okay, now there's all this chaos, and need we even add in the idea of multitasking? If you are a work-at-home parent, maybe you're an entrepreneur who works from home and is taking care of their kids, and oh my gosh, we were all doing that during the pandemic. This is exactly that constant energy to stay focused because there's so much noise happening around. This is why, like, those tasks that require a lot of attention, you're staying up late to get them done because that's the only time it's quiet and your brain can actually focus. Anyway, you get the picture. The next one is lack of social support and feeling isolated. Oh boy. So yes, pandemic, obviously. The other thing I want to highlight, and I talk about this in the stress episode, the stress reliever, like the natural stress resilience that we have built into our bodies is people. Our brain releases adrenaline and cortisol when we're under stress. It also releases oxytocin, which is the cuddle hormone, which tells us to connect. So the more stress we have in our life isn't necessarily bad if it's being utilized and it's not chronic. It's like utilized for a purpose to get something done. And then you're also doing other things to support yourself in decompressing. But a key part of that is connecting with other people because that is that stress resilience piece. Well, obviously, this has been a big issue during the pandemic, so you get the picture there. Another piece is work-life imbalance. Okay, so obviously, I'm talking here about how these dynamics play into your life, not just your work. But you may also find yourself beating yourself up because all the things are slipping through the cracks and nothing is getting done to the standards that you have set for yourself, or perhaps you haven't set, because we go back to those unclear job expectations because we have set either unclear or unreasonable expectations for ourselves, or maybe both. And then we have a work-life imbalance because we feel pulled one place, we feel pulled another place and trapped in the middle. And guess what got lost? The fulcrum of that scale, you. So yeah, naturally, that would be an aspect of burnout. As I mentioned, entrepreneurs, we think we're immune because we left that corporate burnout experience, you know, and we think, oh, there's the freedom and fulfillment of being your own boss. The thing is that We don't realize that that burnout is a culture that we've internalized, and we bring the patterns with us. So again, hustle culture is directly related, and it very much has to do with not giving yourself space to deprogram those patterns and set up structures for new ways of doing things, which, may I remind you, will be uncomfortable and challenging because they're outside of your norm. So no one told me when I stepped into entrepreneurship, guess what? Everything's uncomfortable because it is all new and all different and you're making all the decisions. Oh, hey, we've gone back to decision fatigue. And if you're like, oh, this is my first time dealing with like not having a regular paycheck, now we fall into trying to maintain control or focus on bringing money in, which may not align with the person that you want to be, the way you want to experience life, where you want your focus to be. So then we have the jobs that don't align with who you want to be or that don't align with your sense of self. And then we're trying to control things that are outside of our control or focusing on things that are outside of our control, doing launches, extremes of activity, and totally getting out of balance with ourselves and the reason that we started a business and left corporate in the first place. So it's really important to take that space. Basically, burnout occurs when the stress of the demands being placed on us exceed the resources that we have available to deal with those stressors. So back to that age-old analogy that we parents hear a lot of pouring from our cup. You need to fill your own cup so that you can pour from it. Well, there we are. Unsurprisingly, both for those who have experienced more of the corporate life and for anyone listening who is resonating with what I just described in entrepreneurship and or parenthood, the number one factor that most studies have identified as the cause of burnout is your boss. And while that is in reference to the workplace, I would say that is just as true when you are your own boss, whether you are focused on the home life, personal life stuff, or your work in the world as an entrepreneur. How you manage and lead yourself is going to matter. It always matters. When we step into entrepreneurship, we become our own worst boss if we have not deprogrammed those patterns. If you are one of the people who has been like, this is just what it looks like, this is just how it is, I hope to convince you that it doesn't have to be like that. And honestly, it can't be like that because it is not sustainable. If you are pouring more out of your cup than you have, you will eventually be forced to stop. So we have to do something different. And it does start with you as a leader of your own life. Just like people in corporate can learn to be a better boss and a better leader, so can you. How are you leading your employee, i.e. you? Here are a few things to explore that might help you clarify some of those expectations and shift some of the dynamics that are happening for you as you engage being a better boss to yourself. One, choose the characteristics of your ideal boss. So if you thought of someone who was telling you what to do and guiding you and giving you the what the responsibilities of the job are, et cetera, what are their characteristics? What would you want in a boss or in a workplace? So that would be two, what is your workplace like? What's that ideal work environment? What is that for you? And going from there to three, identify your ideal day and why that's important to you. Go back to the episode that I have on creating your ideal day and do some exploration in that. What works for you? So we've got the characteristics of your ideal boss. What are they like? How do they provide you guidance in your work? How do they talk to you? How often do you meet together to go over how things are going and what could be improved? So that would be the next thing is do have a time where you assess what's working and what's not, like a review time, right? Like you have a review with a boss, have a review with yourself. What's working? What's not? What do you want to do differently? What about it's not working? Is it the result and what it's getting you, or is it the way you're doing it that you want to adjust and do differently? So taking a look at that, those characteristics, and then the work environment. So like, what do you want the dynamics within the environment to be? And that could be how people communicate to each other. Like what ways work best for you? Do you like phone calls? Do you like talking? Do you like writing? How are you communicating to yourself? And it could also be the actual environment of your space. What do you have there? Do you have plants? Do you have multiple colored pens? Do you have a clear desk? Do you have a pile of books to pull as reference? Like what works for you? And then what your ideal day is. And it may fluctuate depending on what's going on. I know for me personally and a lot of people I work with as parents, that is a seasonal thing based on what's happening with my kids. How am I supporting them? Are they in school with the transition back to school? What has that been like? I mean, COVID has been a whole nother thing. So I've mostly just like, okay, there are aspects of that we've had to take into consideration. And hopefully that's moving along. But looking at what are those key times of support that's needed for focus on one aspect versus another aspect? What deadlines are there? Where does your attention need to be? So that may shift. And again, go listen to that because I cover it in a lot more detail in that episode. Another thing is play to your strengths and delegate. As a boss, you want to make sure that your employees' strengths are being maximized, both for their efficacy as well as for their enjoyment of what they are doing. And then where can you delegate? So again, with entrepreneurship, that could look like hiring out, like your time and your money, balancing those out. Where does it make the most sense that this is the hardest thing for you to do, or you hate doing it, so you drain more energy when you have to sit down and do it? It might be worth investing in having somebody help you with that task to free up the energetic load that it takes. At home, it could be having that conversation with a spouse or even with your kids. What could they take on? What responsibilities could they take on that help play to their strengths or what they need support in? And working together, like what areas do you enjoy doing? Like for me, for example, I love to have something to do with my hands while I'm watching TV. So I love folding the laundry. That is not something a lot of people like to do. However, I let my kids do it sometimes because they need to learn. But eventually, like I'm fine doing that if they would prefer to do a different task. So play to those strengths and delegate. Now, delegation could be an entire podcast episode in and of itself, but I do want to make a quick note here that in order to delegate, there is a certain amount of releasing of control that is necessary. So in the home, when you delegate to, say, your spouse or to your kids, they're not going to do it exactly the way that you would do it. Sometimes they're open to learning how you would do it, but sometimes you need to let them do it their own way. You want to help build your kids' confidence as well as build your spouse's confidence if you're asking them to do something that you haven't previously been open to allowing them to do their way before. So it may feel like it takes a little bit more energy at first in order to delegate, which we also see in corporate spaces too, that there's a resistance to delegating because it feels like it's going to take more time to get someone up to speed than to do it yourself. So creating a bit of a buffer, a little extra space for that delegation to happen, knowing that in the long run, it will be better, as well as recognizing that communication in this process is really key, and allowing people the dignity of learning and doing things in a way that may be different than the way that you would do them. It may help to consider the purpose of the task in discerning whether it's something that you're going to hold on to because you enjoy doing it, or the way you do it is particularly important to you, or if it's something that you're going to delegate, or if it's something that you're going to let go of entirely. And then set boundaries for yourself. Constantly in that push is no more sustainable as an entrepreneur than it is in corporate. Nor is it sustainable for a parent. A lot of times we put all the kids in first and we think about all the other people's ideas and take all their perspectives, and we forget to include ourselves in the mix. When you forget to include yourself in the mix of considering all the people's needs and perspectives, guess who misses out? You do. And that's when you fall into that feeling burnt out and overwhelmed and stressed and all of that. So making sure that you've set reasonable boundaries for yourself, give yourself a break. You're the boss. What holidays are you allocating in your schedule? Do you have personal enrichment days? Do you have like a company retreat? Like, what does that look like? How does that fit? Make those things priorities. Sick days, you got to have them. And finally, within that, remember that you always have a choice, especially in these spaces, even more so. Now, I know that choices can be overwhelming. They in and of themselves can be stressful. And again, this is where connecting with other people, this is where hiring a coach can be helpful to help you process through all the layers that may be hard to see because our brains support us making assumptions. I know it's like, it's helpful because it allows us to do things more quickly, but it also holds us back because we don't think to question some things. So having someone who can really dig in and help you see a different perspective to find the choice that works best for you and all the other people, like your employees or your family or your clients or whoever, all those other people that you impact, that you can honor them while also taking care of yourself. And there may be opportunities for that that are hard to see when you're in that stressed place. And remember, it's your life. You're the boss. Your business isn't the boss. The market isn't the boss. Your colleagues, advisors, family, all of those people are not the boss of your life. It's your life. It's your business. You're the boss. When you're used to other people setting the rules, it's really easy to try and find an external playbook to either work from or fight against. And that's where you set up unreasonable expectations for yourself or try and fit you into a box, like we talked about in the last episode, that does not fit you. And doing this can recreate that feeling that you have little or no control over your work, where you feel disconnected from what you're doing. And those two things are really the top causes of burnout. So the more that you take ownership of that decision-making role, the more power you have to create the experience that you want, both for yourself, your family, and your business, and your life in general. And finally, be sure to reward yourself. Going back to that being your best boss, reward yourself. Acknowledge those accomplishments, however small they may seem. It's so easy to get caught up in the big goals and the things in the future and forget to celebrate those steps that got you there, that got you even just a little bit forward. And that lack of recognition is another leading cause of burnout. So we need to celebrate to keep our energy up. I want you to know that you are worth having a life that you enjoy. And no, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard and that you're not going to have stress and push. I do not believe that the goal is this content, peaceful, happy space. Happiness is defined by you, and it may be that rush of adrenaline getting something done and that success feeling when you accomplish a goal. And sometimes we do pushes to get there. But if you're not being a good boss to yourself, you're not going to navigate those in a way that is kind to you, that's supportive for you to keep going. Because there are going to be times when it doesn't work as much as there are times when it does. And our brain has a negative bias. So we are more likely to focus on those things that don't go well as the things that do. And when we're surrounded by a culture of hustle, it's very easy to fall into those patterns, even when they're dragging us down. You deserve better than that. And you can do more good in the world when you take care of yourself and when you are a good boss to yourself. So if you would like support with any aspect of this, especially with that decision-making, that discernment space, that's my jam. And I would love to support you with that. So grab a spot on my calendar and let's have a chat. It's a free exploration call. There is no pressure at all. Sometimes just that chat is what you need to get that clarity to take the next step that is aligned for you so that you can own that amazing life. It's all there in the show notes. If you want to go back and check in with the questions that I asked, be sure to hop over to my blog where you can see them all written out and do a little exploration there. If you like DIY stuff and you're like, Val, call sounds great, but maybe that's not your thing. You'd really just like, give me the worksheets, give me some videos. I'd like to dig in on my own. You can grab my Create Your Flow course that walks you through practical application steps to do additional exploration and build more of your life your way. So those are two great options. If you would like support, I'm here for that. And I will talk to you all next time. Thanks for listening. I so appreciate you being here. If you got something out of today's episode, please share it. Leave me a review, take a screenshot and post it on social with a shout out to me. Send it to a friend or, you know, all of the above. Want to hang out more? Join me on Instagram. Or better yet, get on my mailing list to make sure you don't miss out on anything. And remember, your possibilities are as unlimited as you are. Allow yourself to shine, my friend. The world needs your light. See you next time.